In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
I once, many years ago, complained online on Facebook or somewhere like that, that this gospel or some version of it is read at least three times a year in the church, when so many other gospels aren't read at all. And one of the priests just simply replied, "Well, maybe it needs to be read more nowadays." And read more nowadays because our time is one where we are largely secular, forgetful of the spiritual life, and preeminently scientific, to the point that we deny, most of us in our society and even within the hearts of many Christians, we end up denying the spiritual life, the spiritual reality that's behind all things. And there are even movements that I've mentioned before where they even attempted to demythologize the scriptures, to remove references to demons and to simply scientize things by saying that perhaps this was a mental illness and the ignorant people at that time and Jesus didn't understand and therefore He healed the man. I read one book in the pastoral counseling field where it was almost as if Jesus's beautiful eyes were what cured everybody. He gave them a special dazzle, but he made such a psychological connection with them that it just brought them to all of a sudden. So in our modern times, we've developed elaborate theories as to how Jesus could have even healed people, or whether it was just some psychological trick at the batting of his eyes or whatever the theorists theorize. But in today's gospel, we hear about the demonized man, the Gergesene, who is healed and his demons cast into a herd of swine. The message of the gospel is that the demons want to destroy us, is that ultimately what they did to that herd of swine, running them violently down into the cliff and drowning them, that is exactly what they would do if they were unrestrained against us, if they were allowed to have full reign on this earth. And this earth we live on, Jesus, when he is alive, speaks of it as the devil's realm. It's not that God isn't everywhere present and fills all things. It's that in the fallen world, the devil works ultimately freely. And that he freely has reign in us as much as we give him place in our hearts to reign. And so when we talk about sin and healing within the church, we're often talking about removing spaces for Satan, for the devil, for his demons to reside within your spiritual life. Because really all the demons do is they support that which is broken. They make it more broken. They entrench that which is fallen and they make it more fallen. And the problem is that oftentimes we're delusional as Christians, as people, especially modern people, and we believe that there is no spiritual reality. And so when you think about it, we have many people who think the way to change the world will be through a socialist revolution, or perhaps through a capitalist revolution. We have people in the world who think that the primary way to change the hearts and minds and to transform people is through everyday earthly politics, or through simply helping others, or trying to advocate for the downtrodden. All of these things in and of themselves aren't condemned, but when we put our hope in them, they reveal an idolatry, and they reveal a distraction. The Apostle Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the aerial powers, against the demons in dark places. That the ultimate battle for Christians is primarily a spiritual battle that is primarily won through spiritual means. And the spiritual weapons that we have are faith, fasting, prayer, seeking God, the sacraments, repenting of our sins. And if we knew how important these things were for not only transforming us on the inside, but also transforming the world, we would be more attentive to them. But the truth is, in modern times, we are distracted and we are very distractible. So perhaps it is good to be reminded of the demon-possessed man and to be reminded that we too can be possessed, and that many of the problems in our day and age are people who have developed sinful habits, who have entrenched them in their souls, who have ultimately, in doing that, given themselves over to powers they don't understand and that they can't compete with. That ultimately, when we find ourselves stuck, immovable, and even within our broader society at a place of heightened tensions and brokenness, that we can't imagine that this is a spiritual malady. But in reality, it is. And that it is the best thing that we can do is pray for our enemies, pray for ourselves, repent of our own sins, partake of confession, the sacrament, partake of communion, cleanse ourselves, fast when we can. Because ultimately, and this is what we teach right from the beginning of the incarnation on, that our reality is a spiritual reality. And I wish there was a dramatic way to convey this. I wish there was a way to make it understood, because it all sounds so cliche and empty. To say that our reality is a spiritual reality, you might roll your eyes in your head and say, well, duh. Of course it is. But it isn't how we that isn't how we behave. It isn't how we think. It isn't how our soul operates. In watching one of our ministerial classes, effective Christian ministry classes, Stephen Cristoforo says, what is the first thing you do when you get a headache? Is it to pray? Is it to ask God to heal you? No, it's to get aspirin. He uses this very simple example to show how secular people have become. But it's more than that. Think of all the important things in our lives. A headache is so simple, it's not even hard for me to rather take an aspirin than to ask God to bother God with taking care of my headache. It's the bigger issues, though. Think about all those life decisions and challenges and how we want to be guided and how we want to be live and to encounter people and bring Christ to people. Think of all those areas. Those areas we go out and we look for techniques and we read books and we do various things. But it is very rare to find prayerful Christians. Dedicated, deep, prayerful Christians. So again, perhaps it is a good reminder that today we encounter the Gadarene demoniac. To recognize that yes, indeed, not only is our good God there who ready to hear us, who has the power over demons and has the power over death and the devil, but also is there for us so that we can wrap our life around him and so that we can see reality as it truly is, a fundamentally spiritual reality. And so we can stop following idols and stop investing ourselves in earthly ways of managing our pain or earthly ways of avoiding spiritual reality. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who healed the Gadarene demoniac today, heal us. Help us see the kingdom of heaven which is in our midst, and help us to take up our arms of faith to fight against the demons that he has already defeated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.